Our study tonight is out of John chapter 3, verses 22 to 36, John's final potent testimony of Messiah. John had rightly introduced Jesus to his followers that they might follow him. The ministry of Christ overlapped John the Baptizer's ministry for a period of time, and during that time, more people were flocking after Jesus than after John, which left room for onlookers to witness whether John was secretly self-centered and offended at his ministry decline or if he indeed truly supported Jesus as the Messiah. John's response to Christ's growing popularity at John's own expense, as noted in John 3:22-36, provided the most potent part of John's testimony, one that we do well to heed for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. John 3:22-36. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, that same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that testifies, and no man receives his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Okay. When John presented Jesus as the Son of God and Messiah to Israel, John's ministry did not cease with the inception of Jesus' ministry, for both had preached the message of repentance for the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, you have John preaching the kingdom of heaven. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus comes preaching the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was baptizing. The baptism that he was doing was the same as John's. It was for people to repent. It's interesting, one of the passages points out that Jesus himself did not baptize, but he had his disciples baptized. Well, also, both ministries were similar. They involved baptism of repentance for readiness for the kingdom, with Jesus ministering in Judea, where John baptized at Aenon near Salim in the Jordan River. It says because there were a lot of water there. Actually, the Jordan River had plenty of water. But near that spot, near Salim, you have a number of springs coming in. And the Jews are very particular about getting clean water. And to the Jew, you had clean water only if it was running water. And you had a lot of springs coming there. So that's why John was there. He was facing criticism anyway because of his baptizing in the muddy Jordan. But that was where the water was better. Evidently, some Jews sought to discredit John because he didn't properly follow the Jewish tradition concerning cleansing with water. And they sought to generate a conflict between John and Jesus to dissipate the effectiveness of the ministry of both by provoking John and his disciples to jealousy and reporting that Jesus was baptizing more people than John baptized. The reason they were going after John, and they were going to go after Jesus too, is because these two men were taking the entire nation by surprise, and it was a threat. It was a threat to the Judaizers. It was a threat to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus and John It was the two men who were filled with the Spirit of God. Of course, the Lord Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. But it was a big threat. So they thought that what they would do is try to get Jesus and John to fight with one another. They're not thinking about these as being godly men at all. Well, it's interesting that had John ministered with false motives, news of Jesus' greater ministry would have exposed a jealous spirit in John. However, the opposite occurred, so that John's last testimony of Jesus was his most potent. This is the last testimony that we have of John about the Lord Jesus and his ministry. There's something about a messenger of God when he gets under fire, when he gets under pressure, then you actually see what the man's really like. John's under pressure here because his public ministry is being overshadowed by Jesus' public ministry. If there's a problem with John's spirit, if he's not being led by the Lord, it should surface at this point. But it's interesting that it didn't. John the Baptizer answered the messengers about Jesus' greater following, not with a jealous attitude, but with the humble admission that he was a mere man, could not receive anything of a following in Israel except it were given to him from God above who was in heaven. See, John admitted, I'm a mere man. I'm a mere man here on the earth. And I cannot receive anything from God unless God gives it to me. The following that the Lord has given me is what God has given. So he's very humble. John also added that his hearers themselves had previously heard him confess that he was not the Messiah, but rather you have a strong adversative here in the conjunction Allah. It's a very strong, a weak one would be death, but this is Allah. But rather that he had been sent before that one, Ekenos, that one, of course, being the Messiah. If you go back to John chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, you see this testimony of John himself. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. Or the word Christ actually should be the Messiah. So John has said, look, you've already heard me tell you this. I am not the Messiah. Don't even think of me as a Messiah. The one I'm presenting to you as the forerunner, that one is the Messiah. So John is very strong on this. To illustrate, John likened himself to the friend of the bridegroom. We don't have what is known as a friend of the bridegroom. Closest thing we have in our culture is the best man. The best man is next to the bridegroom and he presents him. So I'm going to use the term best man here. John likened himself to the best man of the bridegroom and not the bridegroom at a wedding, where Jesus is the bridegroom and the people of Israel are the bride. The friend of the bridegroom, or actually the best man, is fulfilled in seeing the bridegroom to whom the bride belongs to be the one who is honored instead of himself. See, the best man isn't marrying the bride. The best man is upholding the cause of the bridegroom. The bridegroom's marrying the bride. So the best man is very, very concerned about seeing that the bridegroom is honored, and that's what John was doing. Accordingly, John the Baptizer asserted that Jesus the Messiah, the bridegroom, must increase, where he, the forerunner of the Messiah, must decrease in the viewpoint of the people of Israel, the bride. What an amazing statement for this man to make. I have to decrease publicly in front of the nation. I have to go down. Publicly in front of the nation, Jesus has to go up. This is a humble man. Then to make his point even clearer, in John 3, 31 to 36, John theologically explained the infinitely superior spiritual nature of Christ's ministry to his own ministry as Christ's forerunner. And it's interesting, in making this statement, he comes out with some theological gems that really hammer home the importance of Jesus Christ and the gospel. First of all, John explained that Jesus, who had come from heaven above, is above all. Where he, John, like any other mortal man, was from the earth below, God's heaven. The Lord Jesus, who was from heaven, testified what he had seen and heard of God the Father. But most of the people were not receiving his testimony. Those who did receive Jesus' testimony acknowledged that God was true. Jesus, whom the Father had sent, spoke God's words. For the Father had not given the Holy Spirit to the Son to a limited degree, like he had to John. And you'll remember in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, the angel Gabriel told John's father, Zacharias, that John would be filled from his mother's womb, be filled with the Spirit. Like we're filled with the Spirit, but Jesus Christ had the Spirit without measure. John had it with measure. So John was indicating that Jesus Christ had a greater superiority as to who he was, where he was from. He had a greater amount of the Spirit, greater commitment of the Spirit of God to his ministry than he had to his ministry. And then God the Father loved the Son. What John had heard the Father claim at Jesus' baptism. Remember in Matthew 3, 16 to 17, he heard the Father from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so John knew that he was the Son of God. And the word Son is a huios. That's what happens after a man has had his bar mitzvah. And he's viewed as fully equal with his Father. So to call Jesus a huios of God, the Son of God, meant that he was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. And God the Father said, "This is my beloved huios." In other words, this is my equal. And hear him. And John heard that. And John testified that Jesus, therefore, is the Son of God. It's a claim to deity at that particular point. So God the Father loved the Son when John had heard the Father claim at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. So the Father had given all things into Christ's hand. Consequently, notice the gospel here. John asserted that he who believed on Jesus as the Son of God had everlasting life. But he who did not believe on the Son would not see life, but the wrath of God remained on him. That's about as clear a presentation of the gospel as you can get. John laid it out for these people. He was not presenting himself. He says, "There's no salvation in me. I'm just a messenger. I'm a human being." In fact, when Jesus came to be baptized of him, John says, "I have need to be baptized of you," which is the baptism of repentance. John was admitting that he was a sinner. But Jesus said, "Allow this to go so that we can fulfill all righteousness." So John went ahead and baptized him. But John was here presenting Jesus. You have to believe in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you have eternal life. If you do not believe in the Son of God, you're not even going to see life, but the wrath of God remains on you. So the lesson is, when others told John that Jesus attracted more people to his ministry than John did to his ministry, news meant to elicit a jealous reaction in John. The prophet John instead exalted Jesus infinitely far above himself, certifying at cost to himself the glory of the God, the Son, in John's greatest testimony of Messiah Jesus in his ministry. This is where he claimed the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of other people. And that is something that is a tremendous thing. And that, instead of feeling threatened by it, absolutely not. He was supporting and promoting the person of the Lord Jesus. In application, may we follow John's lead in exalting Jesus Christ, not ourselves, and our ministries for the Lord. Years ago, when the church up the hill here, Harvest Baptist Church, was just beginning to, they were moving from Torrington, they were moving into New Hartford, they were starting to build that. I got a call from a reporter at the Hartford Courant. And the reporter said, "Pastor Shell, do you know that there's a church, the Harvest Baptist Church, that's being built in New Hartford? It's just up the road from you." I said, "Yes, I know that." He said, "Don't you think there are enough churches around? Why do you?" He was trying to get a fight. I could see between the lines that he was going to write a story. If I went along with his story, he was going to write a story about a row starts between Pastor Schott and Pastor Don Shell, New Park Church. I could see it, headlines, and the last thing I wanted to have is a fight with the gospel preaching church. So they have a different emphasis. They're very strong in evangelism, where I'm more of a Bible teacher. But I replied to the guy. I said, "No, we need more churches around that actually preach the gospel." And they completely put a pin in his balloon. I mean, it was all over. And so he never called me again. See? So that's why I wasn't recorded, and I don't know if the Hartford Courant will ever ask me another question. But that's okay. I didn't want the testimony to get out that there's a row between New Park Church and Harvest Baptist. We're both preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have different types of ministry, that's true. But nevertheless, we're brethren in Christ. So I don't want it to get out to the news media that somehow there's this row that's going on. After all, who are we serving? Are we serving ourselves or are we serving Jesus? Jesus Christ. Harvest Baptist Church, the dear people up there, they love the Lord. They've been saved by the grace of God. They come to know Christ as their Savior. We have people here who are saved as well. We're serving the same Lord. So what we need to do is exalt Jesus Christ. And that's what we're seeking to do at Nepog Church. We're not here to exalt any one particular personality. We're not here to exalt some particular movement. We're actually an independent church. We don't belong to a denomination, but there are other churches that are good that belong to denominations. It's fine. But what's our goal? Our goal is Jesus Christ, upholding Jesus Christ. So that's what we need to do. We need to follow John's lead in exalting the Lord Jesus, not ourselves, not our own particular movements, not our particular ministry, but exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the rapture occurs, guess what? We're going to be with the Lord. And he's going to be the focus, not us. He's going to be the focus. There's a song we used to sing, "The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's Lamb." And that's what we need to be emphasizing now. That's what we need to be living right now in our lives.